Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Apex, so good to be with you today. Thank you for joining us for our service today. And we're continuing this series called Friendology, study of friendships. And this is a message for everyone. Everyone can take this message and apply it to your life today, because everyone can be a friend and everyone needs a friend. One day a man was walking down the road and he was so fixed on his phone that he didn't realize ahead of him that there was a hole in the ground. And he kept on walking, kept on looking at his phone, and he fell into that hole. It was quite a deep hole. It was dark in that hole and the sides were so steep that every effort that he gave to try and get out of that hole, he was unsuccessful. He tried to clamber his way up, but he couldn't reach the top. So he began to call out for help, and as he was shouting, someone was walking by and heard his voice. So they went over to the hole and looked in, and it was actually the doctor. And the doctor began to write a prescription, and he took it and threw it into the hole, and the man looked at the prescription and thought, oh, well, what am I going to do with that in this hole? So he began to call out once again, and this time a pastor walked past, and he stopped. And he looked into the hole, and he got out his notepad, and he wrote a prayer, threw it into the hole, and now the man's in the hole with a prescription and a prayer, thinking to himself, well, how's that going to help me get out of this hole? So one more time, he called once again, and at this time, there was a guy walking past who recognized his voice. So he went over to the hole and looked in, and sure enough, it was his friend. So he jumped into the hole next to his friend. The guy turned to him and said, oh, what are you doing? Now both of us are stuck in this hole. He turned to him and said, it's okay. I've been here before and I know the way out. Wouldn't it be great to have a friend like that? That in your lowest point, when you needed someone the most, they came beside you. But wouldn't it be even better to be that friend who recognize the people in your life that need you the most? Last week, Pastor Neil began this series of Friendology, and he shared of that parable of the Good Samaritan. It's probably one of the most well-known in culture and society. Often when someone does a kind act to a stranger, they're referred to as a Good Samaritan. But the message of this parable is about demonstrating God's love to all people, to our friends, and even to our enemies. And this parable tells us so much about how we should treat one another. Pick up on this story with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to read together from verse 30. It says this, in reply, Jesus said, a man was coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Let me just pause here for a moment. I wonder, are you watching me today? And actually that description would sum up how you feel at this moment. Maybe you felt like life has beaten you up. Maybe you feel like you're at your wit's end. Maybe you feel deserted and lonely. Well, I want to encourage you today that by the end of our time together, you don't need to remain in that place, because you can start a friendship with the one who will take you from feeling half dead to give you new life and eternal life. And I want to give you that opportunity in a few moments. But we read on and it says this, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But now everybody who's listening to Jesus tell the story is expecting Jesus to say another Jew, a lay preacher, but no one is expecting Jesus to say these words, but a Samaritan. Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews at this point. They are shocked. No one saw this coming. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Friends care for each other. The Bible tells us here that the Samaritan took pity on the man who was lying on the road. The road to Jericho was not like the streets in our town, but actually this road was a narrow road. It was a very dangerous road because of its nature. It was a great place for robbers to prey on unsuspecting people and victims. And because it was a narrow road, when Jesus says that the priest and the Levite had to pass by on the other side, he's really emphasizing his point here. That in order for them to get by this man on the road, they couldn't walk to the other side of the street. In fact, it probably would have been so narrow that they would have had to have stepped over the man that was lying on the road. But the Bible tells us that the Good Samaritan, he didn't step over, but he cared enough to stop over. See, first of all, we see that the Samaritan stopped. In the busyness of life and everything that we've got going on in our own lives, do we take time to stop and to care for our friends? You see, the Samaritan didn't view this man as a problem to be avoided, but as a person to be loved. He stopped so that he could care for his friend. I want to encourage you, if we look at this thought of how do we be a good friend, how do we follow the pattern and the example that we see in Scripture, is to be someone who stops because we care. We care enough to listen, and we care enough to encourage. What a friend the Samaritan was to this man lying on the side of the road. In the early church, we read about a character by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas is described as a good man who was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. His name actually means son of encouragement. What a friend Barnabas would have been to have. You could have turned to him and you could have trusted him because he was a good man. He had a good character. But also you would have known that he'd be praying for you. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was an encourager. In Romans chapter 12, we read about some of the ministry gifts that there are within the New Testament church. There's the gift of prophecy, where we encourage people. There's teaching. There's serving. There's generosity. And also mentioned is encouragement, the gift of encouragement. And the Bible tells us, if that's your gift, well, then go and encourage. I wonder today, are you watching me, believer, and you're asking God for a ministry? Can I encourage you to ask for the gift of encouragement? Because everybody needs encouragement. Everyone can choose to be an encourager. There's no one in this world that doesn't need encouragement. You know, the senior pastor needs encouragement. The youngest person in our church family needs encouragement. You watching me today, you need encouragement. But you too can be an encourager. When you encourage someone, you are ministering. that you are actually representing God to them because of your encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. Encouragement is powerful. I can remember a few years ago when I was still a teenager having a conversation with Pastor Willie Watt. It was after a church service and he was being so kind, just in being nice and asking how I was doing. And then during our conversation, he said this words to me, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "I can see you in ministry." He prophesied, encouraged me in that moment when I was, I guess, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And he said those words, someone who I respected, someone who I trusted, was so influential in my life at that point. He spoke those words, and I've never forgotten it. I am grateful for the people in my life that have encouraged me, that have encouraged me to do more, to try harder, have saw things within me that I didn't even see in myself, but they have spoken encouragement into my life, and I am better for it. And because I have received that from my friends, it's my responsibility to be like that to others, that I know the benefit of that, so I am determined that I am going to be an encourager. I want to create a culture of encouragement. And if you want to join in that, well, then you need to be an encourager. You know, the Bible tells us that we reap what we sow. In the book of Proverbs, we hear these words in chapter 11, verse 25. It says, "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." Or the New International Version says this, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." I wonder today, do you need encouragement? I wonder, are you watching me right now and maybe you're feeling low, you're feeling down? I want to speak life and encouragement to you right now. God is for you. He's not against you. He is with you in this moment. You're doing so much better than you think you are, and you're certainly not doing as bad as you think you are. He is with you. The Bible says this, that he is your glory and the lifter of your head. I wonder, who could you encourage right now? Maybe in the chat you could share this encouragement. Every week faithfully, Andrew Armstrong and A.G. Wiley have came into our church building and have set up the cameras, have put all the equipment together and filmed the worship and the preaching and all the elements of the service so that you could enjoy a church experience in your home. I'm sure you're grateful. I'm sure you're thankful. But can I encourage you to express that appreciation and encourage them today? I'm sure you'll agree, the picture's fantastic. Everything's so clear. They've done an incredible job. We love them and we appreciate them. You see, when we encourage one another, we express value and appreciation. But when we deprive people of encouragement, we deprive them of affirmation and value. Everybody needs that. You need it today, and you can give that to other people. So a friend cares. A friend can be an encourager. Who can you encourage today? Maybe by text or phone or even face-to-face. Be specific and encourage them. A friend also comforts. You know, the word encouragement in the New Testament comes from that word that we read in the New Testament, comfort. It's more than just sympathy, but it requires action. This is what the Samaritan did. In verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The Samaritan poured out what he had. He had oil and he had wine with him. He had something to give. The wine that represents the medicine that would have cleaned out the wounds so that the wounds were prepared for the bandages to be applied. And I guess right now, if you need encouragement, if you've got a trusted friend who you can talk to, someone that will listen to you express your feelings and your emotions. You know the relief that you can experience when you actually talk about how you feel can be a great healing to the wounds. And just now I'm not talking about the physical wounds. I'm talking about the emotional or the relational, the inner you wounds. If you've got good friends in your life or you're a good friend, you're able to listen. And also, of course, he pours in the oil. And the oil would have been used to ease the pain. A good friend can help to ease the pain. That's what encouragement is. When you can speak life, when you can give perspective and share maybe awareness to help them to look forward to a brighter day, the Samaritan poured in the oil and the wine. Can I ask you today, what have you got to pour into your friend's life? Or are you the kind of friend that just takes, takes, takes? High maintenance, all about you. Or are you a good friend, a true friend that's willing to pour out into others? You know, the Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher famously said these words in the Houses of Parliament, "No one would remember the Good Samaritan if he only had good intentions. He had money as well. He had something to give. He was prepared." And we hear in the scripture that he met the costs for his healing. For 2 months, they reckon, he was covered in that inn. And he offered to even pay the rest when he returned. He did not only try to just get this guy up and going and then on his way. He did all he could to help him. That's what a true friend is. Not a friend that just goes 1 mile but always goes the second mile and is willing to do all they can to help. A true friend. They comfort, they care, but they also confront. Now, we've all seen on the reality TV shows that person who comes on with their talent and they think they're maybe the best singer in the world, and they start to sing, and if we're being honest, it's not their strength. And you're always thinking, I wish someone had been honest with them and just said, look, you're maybe a bit better at something else. A good friend can be honest with you. But can I ask you to be brave enough not to wait for your friend to say, can I be honest with you? But to say to your friend, can you be honest with me? You see, a good friend will speak to you in love. And if you've got trust, you can receive what they'll say. And that's a great test of relationships when your friend can tell you something that maybe you didn't want to hear. This is what Joyce Meyer says. Only two people will tell you the truth about yourself. Someone who is angry with you, or someone who loves you very much. Everybody from time to time needs to hear truth. And it can either come from someone who's a bit mad, a bit unhappy, or someone who has your best interests at heart, that genuinely loves you. And you can only speak the truth when you have trust with that person. And trust is gained after you know for sure that this person genuinely loves you. Can I encourage you to be a good friend? You've got to be willing to be honest with each other. Finally, friends, they celebrate. Can you just imagine what it must have been like for those two friends that got into that hole together? When eventually they managed to get out of the hole, I'm sure they were high-fiving, I'm sure they were celebrating, they were rejoicing together. And as we look back on this year, it's probably one of the things we've all missed the most, those key life events where we would have celebrated weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, graduations. But there's something about celebrating that friends love to do together. See, a good friend, when you see someone else who's your friend that are doing well, they're successful, you rejoice with them. And I'm looking forward to the day when we get to go to each other's weddings and parties and all that things, and we can celebrate together. You know, also today I do want to remind you about Jesus. Because Jesus is the ultimate friend. He's the one who sticks closer than any brother. He's the one who comforts, who cares, who is honest and celebrates with you. He loves you. And at the end of his earthly ministry, as he is preparing his disciples for his soon departure, he doesn't call them disciples. He doesn't call them co-workers or colleagues or people who are his acquaintances. He says these words, "I have called you friends." That's why Jesus came into this world. He came not to have an impersonal connection or relationship, but something more deeper than that. He came to be your friend. In the Bible, the character Abraham is described as friend of God. And when we hear Abraham, we should always think faith. And when you have faith in Jesus Christ, you become a friend of God. In this story, there's an expert in the law. There's a priest, a Levite, a Samaritan, a robber, all the listeners of Jesus, and there's you today. And Jesus thought that every single one was worth dying for. The book of Romans tells us that Christ died on the cross when we were his enemies. That's how great his love is. He takes this message of the Good Samaritan and he lived it out. And he demonstrated it upon the cross that he died for us even before we accepted him as a friend. That's how great his love is for you. And if you are feeling beat up, rejected, broken, wounded, you don't need to stay there, because there is a friend and his name is Jesus. And he loves you so much that he went to the cross. He took your place. He took your sin. He made the bridge between our Father in heaven and us here on earth so that your sins could be forgiven. All this stuff in your life that you regret, you feel guilty about, and even right now are maybe feeling a sense of conviction about. He took it all. And when you put your faith in him, you ask him to forgive you, he makes you into a new person. He welcomes you into the family of God, and you are now his friend. I wonder if you're watching me right now and you say, "Daniel, I want to be a friend of God. I want to start a friendship with Jesus." That I want to invite you to just follow this simple prayer and mean it sincerely. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, you went to the cross, you died in my place, you took my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I repent of my old life. Make me into a new person. By the power of your Spirit, help me to follow you all the days of my life. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer right now, please let us know, because I want to celebrate with you. I want to rejoice with you today as you have begun a friendship with Jesus. As I said at the outset, this message is for everyone today because of the last words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Friend, I would encourage you to be that sort of friend that cares, that comforts, it confronts, and can celebrate. Let's encourage one another. Let's create a culture of encouragement. Let's be intentional and specific and be an encourager. Go and do likewise.